Welcome to Eugeria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Eugeria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Eugeria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Eugeria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass in Atlanta, Georgia. Today is September 19th, 2012. In the studio with me today is Trevor Wolfer, our producer. Good morning, Trevor.
Good morning, Sam. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
I'm doing all right.
I appreciate your help and all you do for us on this show.
Well, thank you.
All right. Our guest today is a gentleman by the name of Gene Beckham. Gene is owner of Business Furniture Services Incorporated over in Marietta, Georgia. Good morning, Gene. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem. We're going to speak about Business Furniture Services, but I want to tell our listeners that the essence of the show is related to another situation called Honor Air. We're going to develop that topic in just a moment. But first, Gene, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Tell us where you're from. Tell us about your business, and then we'll segue over to Honor Air.
All right. Good morning. Like you said, my name is Gene Beckham. I am from Perry, Georgia, originally. Business Furniture Services is an office furniture dealership in Marietta. We've been around since 1999. We cater to mid-grade office furniture and do business-to-business really all over the state of Georgia and really all over the country. But anyway, we're just happy to be here today. We're happy to talk about Honor Air, and we're happy to mention Business Furniture Services. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate you being here. This show, ladies and gentlemen, it relates to our veterans. Hopefully, for those that listen know how dear that is to my heart. We're going to allow Gene to tell us how he became involved with Honor Air, how business furniture is part of that. So with that, I'm going to allow you to begin and tell us the story, Gene.
All right. Well, I am past president of the Roswell Rotary Club in Roswell, Georgia. And back in 08, we kind of have a philosophy with Rotary to an incoming president has a signature project, whether it be a nonprofit or something to within the community to really be involved in, and it be his focus for that year. And I had heard about Honor Flight Network from one of our members. His father-in-law had just done a trip in North Carolina, and he was all excited about it. Our club is very involved with veterans. We help the city of Roswell put on our big Memorial Day every year. And so he came to me and said, "This has just got our Rotary Club written all over it." So I met with his father-in-law. We looked into the Honor Flight program, and I just decided this has got to be a signature project for us.
That's great. Tell us, for our listeners, tell us the essence, the high-level, 30,000-foot view of what Honor Flight is all about, and then we'll segue over to Honor Air.
Well, Honor Flight is about getting the World War II veterans up to Washington that have never seen their memorial. You know, it was only completed in the late 90s, so a lot of these gentlemen and ladies have not ever seen their memorial. So it's kind of an honor and recognition program. It's a day-long trip to get them up there to see the memorial, to show our appreciation, and just to let them know what that whole generation means to us and to our freedom.
Great, great. So this began in 2008. How did, from that beginning, we move to the current status of Honor Air?
Well, it was supposed to be a one trip, a one signature project, and we had no idea we had that many World War II veterans that were interested in getting up there. And from the one trip, we basically had a second trip on a waiting list. Mm-hmm. And our club just said, "There's no way we can say no to these people. We've got to get them up there." And this thing is just steamrolled and snowballed. And now we're fixing to do our fifth trip. It's full, and we've actually got a waiting list. So hopefully we can pull off a sixth trip and keep on going and getting them all up there.
Well, I can tell you that if Brad and I have any say so, we'll certainly help facilitate a sixth trip, if not a seventh and an eighth. It's something that I believe is certainly due. It is something that we need to do to tell these individuals that protect us, that give us this country that we live in, how grateful we are.
Right.
Appreciate it. Okay, so in 1980, in conjunction with Honor Flight, you did your first trip, and then from there you branched out to Honor Air. So with that, tell us the essence of Honor Air. Tell us how it begins. Tell us what it is. Tell us who the sponsor is this year. Just begin telling us the story.
Well, first, I want to mention Coldwell Banker, their CARES Foundation, and they have really helped us make this fifth trip possible. The budget for the trip is about $70,000, which puts a tremendous strain on our community and our club. We have one major fundraiser a year. 100% of that, those funds go back to our community, to nonprofits, to help in the community. So we didn't want to have a conflict with what we already had going on within the club. So we've done different fundraisers. We've put the financial burden back on the guardians themselves to sponsor the veterans. Like I said, it's about a $70,000 budget for the day. So that's quite a lot of money. Like I said, this trip, Coldwell Banker has stepped up, and they have more than covered half the trip. It is our first corporate sponsor or foundation sponsor, so to speak. So we hope this has taken this trip to a whole new level, and we'll be able to continue trips in the future. But getting back to what Honor Flight is, what the day is all about, it's getting the veterans to Washington for a day trip. We meet at the Roswell Area Park starting at 5:15 a.m., and believe it or not, when I get there about 5 o'clock in the morning, I'll have veterans standing at the door.
that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, upset that somebody's not there with the coffee pots already plugged in. But we start meeting about 5:15. We leave the Roswell Area Park at 6. The city of Roswell, the fire department, the police department, the toll authority of Georgia, the Georgia State Patrol, everybody has been so wonderful in this. You know, the first trip, everybody wanted to get involved and be a part of honoring these guys and gals. But thank goodness they're still on board after, you know, four trips, and we're not too much of a nuisance for them. But we leave the Roswell Area Park at 6 a.m. The Roswell Fire Department does a ladder crossing over a major intersection for us. They've got all the fire trucks out. We've got a Roswell police escort all the way through downtown, which is kind of tough to do during rush hour. And the Atlanta police help us out, the Georgia State Patrol. We shoot right through town, get down to Hartsville. And the first trip there was something kind of unique that had never been done before. But the TSA set up our own security down on the ground level on the e-concourse. And we actually take our three buses straight out on the tarmac, walk the guys straight through security, downstairs, and straight on our plane.
I know that in today's world, that's not done easily. And I certainly appreciate the TSA's and Hartsfield and everyone's cooperation. That's great.
Absolutely. And then we board the plane in Atlanta. We take off to Reagan. We fly U.S. Airways. U.S. Airways is very involved in Honor Flight. This is near and dear to their heart, and the plane is decorated. When we land at Reagan, we go through a water cannon. I mean, these guys get a hero's welcoming going into Washington, and a lot of them didn't get that coming home.
Right.
So we're trying to repay those respects, and the guys and gals really enjoy it. When we come off the plane in Reagan, U.S. Air has been calling for an hour, telling the whole terminal that these guys are coming in. There's an Honor Air flight coming in. And by the time we get there, the USO's there, a band is playing. The whole terminal is lined with flags and people just cheering, hugging their necks and everything. And it's a very emotional experience. But through all of that, probably the thing that is the most emotional of the entire trip is when we're waiting at the gates in Atlanta, when we're waiting in Washington, it's today's servicemen and women that are going to harm's way now, to Afghanistan, to Iraq. You know, this started back in 2008, and the airport was full of people pushing off to there. They're stopping. They're taking pictures. They're shaking these World War II veterans' hands. They're thanking these veterans for what they did so many years ago, so they can still go and do the same fight for freedom that we're doing now. That is very emotional.
It's still a band of brothers.
It sure is. It sure is.
That's great. That's great.
So anyway, we load into three buses in D.C. We arrange a police escort there. It's just like ambassadors of royalty traveling through Washington, and these guys and gals just eat it up. I mean, we get to blow through every red light. We get to go through all the traffic, and we go straight to the World War II Memorial. We stop there and have lunch there and spend about 2 hours there, take pictures. We have a lot of our representatives and senators meet us there, Senator Tom Price, Johnny Isaacson, whoever we can get that's in Washington at that time. They've always been really good coming out and meeting us and meeting the guys and gals and thanking them there. Then we, from there, we go to the Vietnam Wall, the Korean Memorial, and spend about an hour there. And then from there, we go to Arlington for the changing of the guard. And it does not get any more emotional than that.
You know, I the whole time you're speaking, I've got this smile on my face because it is just a wonderful, wonderful time. For our listening audience, about 3 years ago, while I happened to be in D.C., I saw one of these flights come in. We were at the World War II Memorial, and I saw this group of 60, 70, 80 veterans come in, and I was with a group of eighth graders at that time, and even that group of eighth graders recognized what a special moment it was, and it was dead silence, and it was really, really touching. I can speak to that. And then beyond all that, I can imagine what Arlington is like, because that is one of the most emotional places in Washington, D.C., as you watch the Honor Guard. So I can imagine that that is just a great, great time. Tell us a little bit, if you will, about the logistics of the trip. You've given us a time frame, but obviously these people, these veterans, are now probably most of them, if not in their mid-80s, certainly approaching it. So tell us how you go about ensuring their well-being.
Well, we have a guardian program, and so now we've gotten to the point where it's a one-to-one ratio. Back in 08, we've had one guardian to two veterans, but now with the age of the veteran and what's left that hadn't gotten up there, the majority of them are wheelchair-bound. So we have a one-to-one ratio, guardians to veterans. We also have a safety team that travels. We have a doctor that travels with us. We have a nurse that travels with us. We have three EMTs that travel with us. The same EMTs have gone on all the trip, and they've just been wonderful. It's as emotional to them. But safety is the utmost importance, and it is a long day. And the families need to know that that safety is the utmost importance. This safety crew, we hit the ground running whenever the buses stop. We have somebody posted at all steps, all stairways, all escalators, all elevators, and all day long we're pointing out and you know, just bringing to the veterans' attentions the hazards that may be there. And we've had a great success rate. You know, we hadn't had any problems so far, so it's working.
How do these veterans kind of tolerate this day? I mean, you're talking about meeting at 5:15. This has got to be a very long day. Are they so excited that they just run through on adrenaline? Do they some of them sleep? Just give us an idea how that
works.
Well,
it starts off kind of slow. They're a little nervous. They're a little timid. You know, they're getting away from family. Sometimes family members are their guardians, right. But you know, they're meeting a lot of other veterans that they may not know. So the flight up to Washington, they're a little bit in awe. You know, they've seen this police escort. They've seen the fire trucks. They've seen how we're recognizing them. But they're still a little timid. There's not a lot of talking. It's kind of quiet. But as the day progresses, they start sharing stories.
Yeah.
And it really, flying home, the guardians, we're the ones sleeping. We're tired. You know, we've unloaded and loaded buses all day long, and we've made sure these guys and gals stay safe. We're worn out. They're all talking. They're talking about the day. They're talking about what a wonderful homecoming they finally have had. they're making friends, and by the time we get back, sure, they're tired, but they're still excited, and they can't wait to get back to their family and tell them about the day and everything that they saw and everything that they did. So it really is a neat day.
Yeah, that's just a tremendous story. Once again, I'm fascinated with what you do in this whole process. If you will, tell us a little bit about the uniqueness of Honor Air. I know that we began with Honor Flight. Well, why is it that the Rotary Club of Roswell kind of takes this on themselves?
Well, we took the Honor Flight template, and the first trip was part of Honor Flight. We didn't know what we were doing, and you know, we needed help, we needed guidance, and we needed the connections. But we really thought it was going to be one trip. We thought it was going to be one project. And as this waiting list kept growing, we knew we had to do it again. But we still wanted to do it for our community, for our area, and our veterans. And becoming a hub for Honor Flight, we would have been committed to taking applications from all over the state, from all over the Southeast, and that gets to be a logistical problem for us. You know, it's a lot to turn a one-day trip into a 2 or 3 day trip so they can get to Roswell and spend the night. We've had a couple of groups do that. We had a group last year from Rome that we had a guardian that was just wonderful. She went and picked them all up, brought about 6 guys down with her, put them in the hotel that night, had them, you know, all day, and then stayed at a hotel. It can be done, but, you know, we wanted to make sure it stayed within our community.
I think that's the important thing, is that because you've chosen to take this on yourselves, it is a community-oriented service that the Rotary Club wants to give back. And though it can do much the same to honoring veterans, if you are outside the community, you want to focus on that locality. So that's great. Talk to us a little bit about some of the stories. I briefly touched upon that, but I'm sure you've got one or two stories that just tug at your heartstrings.
Well, there's a lot of stories. The biggest thing that continues to amaze me is, even back from the 08 trip, I've got guardians and veterans that were paired up on that trip that didn't know each other, that still meet for dinner once a month. Some of these veterans have gotten involved in the guardians' families. I mean, it's a relationship that I don't think you could build any way else in one day. I mean, you know, we've got relationships that here we are 4 or 5 years later, and they're still together and still staying in touch, and it's wonderful. And the relationships of some of the veterans, you know, a lot of these guys and gals are in assisted living homes. Mm-hmm. They've got their core friends there, but this is a way to branch out and meet other veterans, and that has happened. And we've got different little mini groups that still meet and still stay in touch. But probably the greatest thing is some of the guys and gals that we've had on these trips that, without doing something like Honor Flight, A, you would never meet them, and B, you wouldn't know their story. But we had a Basil Jackson from Savannah that was a Air Force pilot, mm-hmm. through over 50 bombing missions, and was a German POW. Well, he was involved in the escape that the movie The Great Escape came out of. This trip we've got going now, Mr. Lingerfelt, is the oldest active Boy Scout in the country, and is even, so I've heard, had a merit badge named after him. He's going on this trip. We've had somebody as young as 83. You do the math. How was he in World War II at 83?
He lied about his age.
That's exactly what
That's
he
right.
did. I think our oldest veteran that we've had has been 102 or 103. So it's just amazing.
And they made the trip?
And they made the trip.
I want to encourage those who are listening, this can be done. Yes, it might be a strain, but given the right situation and the right physical condition and mental state, this can be done.
We had a veteran from Thomaston, Georgia, that still works about 45 hours a week with his hands sewing. He's a upholsterer.
Yeah.
He ran circles around all us guardians. It's just amazing, some of these people. Nurses, to hear some of the stories, some of the POWs, you know, listening to the difference between the two theaters, Europe and the Pacific. Right. It's a day full of stories.
I know again the elements involved here, but what a great time for the youth of this nation to bridge that informational gap that they're not taught in schools today. Right. About the history and what these individuals did, what this nation did at that period of time. And these individuals literally liberated the world. These individuals allowed history to move towards freedom, to allow the whole world to move towards that direction. So I just think it's a great opportunity for the youth, for the veterans to come together in a common cause and to some of that wisdom to be bestowed upon us youngsters.
That's exactly right. And I think that's why we see today's servicemen and servicewomen stopping in the airport. They know where they're headed. They know what they're doing today. And I think they, above everybody else, appreciate even more what these guys and gals did.
Yeah, develop that, if you will, Gene. You were talking off air about how when you get to Reagan, how it is the current service men and groups that are leading the charge to honor these individuals.
Yeah, they really do. If they're walking through either airport with their packs on their backs, they're headed to their gate to fly out. They don't know when they're coming home. They don't know if they're coming home. And they will stop and shake every one of these guys and gals' hands and personally thank them for what they did so many years ago. It is really, really amazing. Another thing that we do, we have gotten a group out of the Pentagon that meet us up in Washington. And this is current servicemen and servicewomen that are stationed at the Pentagon. A whole van load will come, and they'll spend the entire day with us, and they'll take turns helping us push wheelchairs and talk to these men and women. And it's just a wonderful thing to see.
That's great. Let's specifically, how many veterans from the greater Atlanta area, let's say, go on this trip?
On this trip that we've got going October 10th, we'll have 60 veterans.
Okay. So you have 60 veterans, you have 60 guardians, that's 120, a doctor, a nurse, three paramedics. You end up taking, what, 135 to 140 people?
Well, we have 150 people is okay. What'll go on the flight. We have a representative from U.S. Air going with us. We try to get a representative from TSA to go with okay. us. We try to have a photographer. So we fill up every flight or every seat on it. But that's a wonderful thing about having our own charter, too, is we do have a little leeway if we get caught. You never know what's going on in Washington, so we can always get the entire day done.
Right.
You know, if we were flying commercially, we got held up in traffic.
Right.
We may have to skip a memorial. We may have to cut something short. But doing this, which is a little more expensive, but we can control the destiny of the day and make sure that these men and women get everything that we're trying to give them.
That's great. Briefly speak about this honor air continuing and what is the condition for it to do so. And as we do that, I want to make a point that you have on one of your flyers that's saying that these veterans, though there's 2 million still alive, they are dying at a rate of 1,000 per day. So at some point, obviously, the pool of these individuals and the physical ability of these individuals is going to diminish. But I want you to speak about what needs to happen for this to continue.
Well, what we would like to see happen is we would love to carry this to the Korean War, to Vietnam, continue honoring our servicemen and servicewomen. On this trip, we've got some Vietnam veterans that are going as guardians. That is
yeah.
a great
yeah.
story to have two veterans spending the day together and seeing both of their memorials and talking about the different wars. One other thing I want to throw out is that we've got a father-son World War II vet and Vietnam vet that are going together.
Oh, boy.
So that is incredible. But anyway, what we would like to do is we'd like to see this continue. But, you know, Coldwell Banker, like we said on this one, really stepped up, became a financial sponsor of this trip. That's really how we're being able to do this fifth trip. It's going to take something like that to continue. It's going to take corporate sponsorship. It's going to take foundation sponsorship, or it's just going to take sponsorship from the community. But we hope through fundraising events, through marketing, through PR, that we'll be able to continue to do this. And you know, I'd love to see us, you know, in a couple of years when we've made sure that there's not another World War II veteran in the Roswell, East Cobb, North Fulton area, they've all gone up and they've seen their memorial. And then we'll say, okay, Korea, let's go.
That's great.
Vietnam, let's go.
Let's clarify. I don't want the audience to be misled that if there is a veteran over in Lawrenceville, they're welcome. They just have to get to the Roswell Park.
Right? Absolutely. We've had them. We've had a few from Tennessee. We've had some from Savannah, South Georgia. Anybody's welcome, and the veteran goes for free. We find the sponsorship for the veteran, but the logistically, the family's got to make sure that they can get to the Roswell Area Park. We thought about leaving from a central location downtown or something a little more convenient, but we lose everything the city of Roswell has so graciously done, and that starts the day off. I mean, we hit the ground running with these guys and gals with wide open eyes, and it's just, there's no way we can take that element out of what we started.
Oh, and as you said, this is community service, so right. I can appreciate that. I if you were to ask me, I think that beginning the trip in the Roswell, which is the community that is honoring these vets, that's due.
And Caldwell Banker, this is an Atlanta-based foundation that did this. It's not just, you know, Roswell. It is all the Caldwell Banker agents in Atlanta, and all of them through the sale, when they sell a home, they all give a percentage of their sale, of their commission, to this CARES Foundation. So it's through all these agents how this is possible. And we went to Caldwell Banker and we talked to them about, well, you know, since we've got agents coming as guardians from all over the city, should we do something centrally located to the airport? And even they've said, no, we cannot take that element out of Roswell. We'll get everybody up there. We'll That's do great. What we got to do.
Beyond the financial constraints, do you have difficulty finding guardians? How does all that work?
Well, you know, our club is almost 300 members now. So we've got a waiting list for guardians also, but the community does too. So we've got plenty of guardians.
I can speak to that. Probably 4 months ago, I said, look, I'll do this, and I'm not going. So that tells you something right there.
Well, we'll get you on the next flight, I promise.
Gene, this is a great program. I certainly appreciate what you do. Words will not allow me to express my appreciation for what the Rotary Club does for these individuals. I only hope and pray that somehow that I can help and be part of this. If we can do anything at Griswold or personally, we certainly want you to call upon us. And I hope our listeners understand that moving forward, it is financial. And I hate to be an individual that keeps passing the hat, but you've got to have the financial support in order to do this, and I encourage any of those out there that might be interested to contact you, contact us, and we'll go from there.
And Sam, let me throw this out right quick. Our RoswellRotary.com, our website, has all of this information on it. We've got there's a link to our Honor Air website from that one. We've got veteran applications. We've got guardian applications. Even though this trip is full, go ahead and fill one out. Send it in. There will be a waiting list. But there's all kind of information regarding this program or project on our website. So feel free to contact me directly. However you need to do, if you need any information on this.
Let's transition over to that information. You mentioned the Rotary website. Give our listeners that website, if you will.
It's Roswell, www.roswellrotary.com. And through that, there's an Honor Air logo on it. You can click on it and get the link to all the information.
Gene, I I hate to wrap this up. I'm just going to give you the opportunity. Is there anything else that you'd like to speak of from your heart about this? We, as I told you, this is something dear to me. So if you want to wrap it up, then I'll give you the last word.
No, it's dear to us, too. And like I said, this is the fifth trip. I've been the chairman of it every trip so far. I'm not stepping down. I won't let anybody else do it. Alicia Hughes has been a big part of this. She is actually an employee that works for Mike Nielsen, who brought this project to me. He's the one that said, Rotary's all over this. We got to do this. She's been involved since day one. The whole club has. I mean, I have to beat people off with a stick to get them away from this project. So, but anyway, just feel free to contact us about it. We would love to continue this. And I want to thank you for helping us get out on the airwaves and make more people aware of this great project.
My pleasure. And only wish and hope that I can do more. Okay. I appreciate it. Gene, tell us how someone can contact you directly if they might be interested in business furniture services, or if they just want to talk to you about the On-Air program.
Okay, well, through my website, www.bfsga.com, as in Boy Frank Sam George Allen.com. My office number is 770-971-5424, or my email is Gene, G-E-N-E, at bfsga.com.
We certainly appreciate it. Thank you, Gene, for being our guest, and I look forward to developing a relationship and having you back with us.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I once again just want to encourage you to sponsor Honor Air, to reach out to these veterans, and somehow, some way, let's continue this program for years to come. That's really it for today. I thank you for listening. I want to remind our listeners that if they want to listen to a rebroadcast of today's show, they can do so at eugeriaradio.com. We want to thank Gene once again for being with us. And as we always close, we want to say that if the youth of this nation is its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors and the veterans of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you and God bless.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.